This is Bucky Bacall with the Backyard Chicken Broadcast. Recently, I ran into someone who wanted to come over and visit my little flock of chickens. I'm always glad when someone takes an interest in backyard chickens. I've already admitted many times that the nefarious Bucky Bacall agenda is to get as many people as possible, especially suburbanites and city dwellers, to raise chickens instead of wasting outdoor space on lawns. But one of the reasons this woman wanted to see my little micro farm was because a friend of hers was thinking of getting her young daughter started raising a small flock of chickens as a way to make a little extra money, and that made me kind of skeptical. The thing is, it's pretty difficult, all but impossible in fact, to make a profit from a couple dozen birds. One backyard chickener from Vermont did a detailed but fun-to-read analysis of the economy of keeping a small flock and came up with a final profit of $2.50 per month. Even with a low-maintenance flock, spending 15 minutes or less per day on the flock, like this person, it's simply not worth the time if a money-making opportunity is what you're looking for. For a link to that website, see the Bucky page at sagebrushvariety.org. Now, don't be confused. I absolutely believe everyone with a modest amount of outdoor space at their disposal will improve their own lives and help the health of the planet by inviting chickens into their backyards and lives. As I always say, backyard chickens will till and fertilize your soil for gardening, get rid of bugs without the use of pesticides, provide you with eggs that are proven to be more nutritious and better tasting than the grocery store variety, and also provide great entertainment and companionship. Caring for chickens on a small scale is a relatively easy and hassle-free way for people to reclaim a degree of self-sufficiency in their lives. But doing it for profit is almost sure to end in frustration. How do the factory farms manage to turn a profit where you can't? As I've told you before, they cram their chickens together in densities that boggle the mind. They feed them the cheapest stuff that can sustain them, including a lot of dead animals from the very same chicken factory or other sources, kill hens as soon as they are past peak production, and use a variety of artificial means, from round-the-clock lighting to hormone injections, to maximize fertility. There's no way someone with a dozen or even a few dozen chickens and any sense of decency towards their animals is going to compete with the factory farm price of $1 or so for a dozen eggs, even if your eggs are tastier and better for the consumer. There was a time when a farming family could raise a small supplemental income by selling eggs to people in town who didn't raise their own chickens, but that was more or less a century ago, before the industrialization of food production and distribution. In one of my favorite references, The Chicken Book, by Paige Smith and Charles Daniels, the industrialization of chickens and eggs are described in fascinating, if horrifying, detail. When I hear people planning to make egg money with their backyard farms, I can't help but think of the great chicken farming rush of Petaluma, California, in the early 20th century. Hopeful chicken farmers, many of them attempting to escape the cities and 9-to-5 office job routines, that probably sounds familiar, poured into Petaluma to start their own ranches, using a sort of Petaluma method, which featured all the early developments in the industrialization of farming, such as mechanization and a bit of crowding, which was believed to be an all but guaranteed formula for success. And for a while, it was a guarantee for success, but mostly because, just like the dot-com boom, this boom fueled itself for a while through supporting businesses and pyramid schemes. But in a little over a decade, the small operations had closed. In the end, the only real moneymakers were the mechanized hatcheries that turned out thousands of baby chicks for sale to new farmers. That moment in history marked the beginning of the end to the concept of small income-generating farms that had any chance of competing with factory farms. Today, we spend only 10% of our income on food. In 1950, we spent 22% of our income on food. And in 1935, a moderate income farm family spent 47% of their total living on food. The real cost of that change, however, is that much has been lost in terms of flavor and local variety of food. Contemporary, non-organically grown foods are less nutritious than the vegetables, fruits, and meats of pre-industrial agriculture. And we now routinely are exposed to pesticide residues, antibiotics, hormones, and other chemicals as a byproduct of nearly every meal. And worst of all, your options for acquiring food grown the pre-industrial way dwindle as factory farms crowd out the last of the small farms. The good news is that you can still reclaim your right to healthy food and your connection to the land, even in a suburban or urban yard, by becoming part of the do-it-yourself permaculture movement. And the even better news is that you can transition in steps. You don't have to sell your house or quit your 9-to-5 job and learn to farm overnight. You can start in your own backyard with a small organic garden and a couple of hens. You can free yourself from worrying about the profitability of your efforts and focus instead on the self-sufficiency you gain, which in my experience may save you so much money that it feels like earning. It's legal to keep small flocks of chickens in more places than not, even larger cities like New York City, San Francisco, Houston, and Portland, the unofficial capital of North American urban chickening. Look at your city's code online, call the city clerk or your animal shelter to find out. This is Bucky Bacall signing off. I had a good time. Bucky Bacall's Backyard Chicken Broadcast was produced by the Sagebrush Variety Show with support from Boise Community Radio and the Green Institute.